I have been asked to make one announcement before we begin this morning, and that announcement is that photographs will be taken yet for one more hour. And if you're like me and you haven't been there yet, now is the acceptable time. But you can stay for chapel. You don't have to leave yet. We begin with prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, that you might remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may obtain remission of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through the same our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn to hymn number 343. This is Martin Luther's great Easter hymn. When Martin Luther set about the business of trying to compile music for the Church of the Reformation, one of the places he looked to, quite naturally, would have been the music of the church and the past. His most probably his favorite Easter hymn, a hymn that he would have heard each Easter growing up, was an old Latin hymn called the Victimae Paschali Laudes, Christians to the Paschal Victim, raise your song of praise. And that was a tune in those days that carried with it a great deal of Easter weight. So he kept the tune, modified it somewhat, and created this text, which is based on that text, but also goes further than that text goes in teaching us what happened with Christ, our Passover Lamb. Much of the imagery in this text, of course, is drawn from the story of the Passover, in which the blood of the Lamb was put on the door to keep away the angel of death. And in this hymn, Luther reminds us now that the blood of that Lamb keeps away from us the angel of death as well. We look at it this week, of course, the theme of this week set by the gospel lesson for Sunday, the Christ raising the widow's son. And we remember that that was a strange meeting that morning when Christ coming into the town met this funeral procession going out. And it was a stranger meeting yet when God took death on face to face there on the cross. And we're going to look at verses 2, 3, and 4 especially. And before we sing those, I would like to point out one word that you may not have heard too frequently. In the second verse, we talk about thraldom. We all use the word enthralled and sometimes forget that the meaning of that word, to be captivated, is not always so very seemly. Thraldom, of course, is captivity to something else, to be powerless to something else. And so when you encounter that word, that's what we're talking about, what it is to be a slave to death. We will sing verses 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
Turn now to hymn 527. Here is another reworking of an old hymn by Luther that deals very specifically with the struggles that we have in this life. Death continues to bite us at our heels. It won't leave us alone. And as we were reminded in the homily on Tuesday, we, of course, live in a country in which the life expectancy is so much higher than it is in many other places in the world that we sometimes do a very good job of keeping death in the closet. This was not, of course, so much the case in Luther's day. Death was much more common. Death was prevalent. You could get up in the morning and feel fine, and by the evening, without the aid of antibiotics and doctors and things like that, you could, in fact, be facing eternity. And this hymn, as we see, reworked from a hymn from the 10th century, which makes it very old, very much outside of our cultural experience, melodically. Sometimes when we sing a lot of these older hymns, we wonder why so many of them are in what we today call a minor key. To us, we talk about the minor key. If you ever took piano lessons, that was in the second book, and there was a happy song that was in the major key and the sad song in the minor key. This really was not the case in terms of the cultural history of our music until the 16th century. In fact, Luther was one of the first tune writers to really exploit what we call the major key. A number of his hymns end with a descending major scale. Ta-dum, pum, 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 pa-da-dum, pum. That's sort of his signature. And that is a spot in the history of music where we turn a corner between the old understanding of melody and scales and now with our more modern understanding. The ancients, if we can call them that, did not see the minor key as a sad key. If we think about it in terms of rock, this is the way I like to explain it, the minor key is granite, and the major key is marble. And if you think about the qualities of those two stones, I believe that in the old days, when they talked about the different modes, the minor mode had a great name. It was called the Aeolian mode. And the major mode was called the Ionian mode. And they probably didn't have anything to do with the ancient Greeks, but that sounded cool to them. And so we have a number of these tunes that are either in the Aeolian or related modes that sound minor to us. And as we sing this hymn, I think you discover after you have worked through the tune a couple of times, it is an amazingly strong picture of the reality that we face, that we are all going to face, theoretically by ourselves, but spiritually, of course, we will not be alone. And the second page of this hymn also is a Trinitarian proclamation with the thrice holy of the angels being sung here as we face death. And let's stand then and sing this grand old hymn.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we humbly beseech you to set your passion, cross, and death between your judgment and our souls, now and in the hour of death. Give us mercy and grace, and grant your church concord and peace, that at length we shall enjoy everlasting life and glory. For with the Father and the Holy Spirit you reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. Depart in peace.